how the love that you have. That once you learn how to love, that you would apply that. And you know, as we look at our world today, every situation needs love. You got parents that are angry with children. You got children that are angry with parents. Paul said, I pray that you would know how to love each other and that you would have discernment in your love. You got husbands and wives that don't know how to love one another. Paul says, I pray that you would have discernment in your love and that your love would grow. We got people that don't know how to love those who are around them. And that's why we have so many issues, so many breakups, so many problems in our world today, is because people are not exercising love the way that they should. Paul said, man, I pray. He said, every day I pray that you would grow in your knowledge of how to love each other and that you would grow in your knowledge of how to apply that love.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Push Your Family. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Push Your Family.
Okay. This is what I'm getting ready to share with you right now. I'm asking you, if you pray for me on a daily basis, and I have people tell me all the time that they're praying for me on a daily basis, this is what I want you to pray for me, what Paul prays for these Philippians, the power. And you know what? I was thinking that this is how the message started out, you know, how to pray for your family. But as I study this more, I say, man, you ought to be praying how I can pray for myself too. You know, how ought I be acting, and what kind of prayers do I need in my life? The focus of pushing. And you know, we got to believe. Yeah, see, when you pray, you got to believe that God is going to do something. And then you ought to write a journal when God begins to work and write these things down so you can always go back and see what it was that God did. You know, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to journal. I'm going to journal, especially for some of you new people, what God did when we moved into this building. When we moved into this building, all we had was the money to finish this floor that you're on right now. That's all. No furniture. There was no money for furniture. Nothing. All we had was this completed floor. Upstairs was a big empty space. Downstairs was a big empty space. But we prayed. And God started sending in office furniture. And God started sending in chairs for classrooms. And God started sending in boards. And God started sending in tables. And God, man, I tell you what, God just showed up and he showed out. And when you believe that God can do anything through prayer, then that's going to make you take prayer a little more seriously. And there's a tale that was told about this city that was normally dry, that there were no taverns or as we used to call them growing up, beer gardens in the city. And this church got together, and the church began to pray that God would shut this joint down. And as they prayed, lightning came down and struck the building and burned it up. And the man who owned the building took the people to court. To sue him, because he said that they were responsible for his building burning down. Well, wouldn't you know it, that the church hired a lawyer because they didn't think they were responsible. And so when they got to court, the presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, he said, no matter how this case comes out, there's one thing that's clear, and that is the tavern owner believes in prayer and the church does not. The tavern owner believes in prayer, but the church doesn't. Man, you got to believe that God is able to do what it is that we're asking him to do, that he has the power, that if I'm praying, man, you know what? Let me share with you. Lorenzo Ruff, one of my sons in the ministry in Virginia, his wife, his children, went to church all the time. They prayed for Lorenzo for years and years and years and years, prayed for him. Lorenzo had, you're talking about somebody that had bucks and bling. Lorenzo had bucks and bling. He drove a Corvette all around the community. This brother had, he had it going on. One day, while his family was in church praying for him, sitting at home, Jimmy Swaggart came on TV. Watching Jimmy Swaggart, gave an invitation right there before his television. Lorenzo Ruff bowed his heart, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, came to church and got busy. And once again, he was one of the young men that I was able to license into the ministry. And since then, he's pastored a couple churches. The power of intercessory prayer. One of my good brothers, related to a couple people in this church, Reverend Norman Givens. He was in New York. His wife was in Virginia. She was praying for him. She had left him. She was tired of all his foolishness and his mess. She had left him, but she kept praying for him. And she was in Virginia praying for him for years, praying for him. One night he was on the subway in New York, drunk, not caring about anything. And somebody came up to him and handed him a tract. He read the tract later, got saved, called his wife and said, "One of your angels finally got to me." I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. You got to believe that God is going to work on behalf of those individuals that you are praying for. You got to believe that prayer works. You got to keep on pushing. Pray until something happens. The first thing that the apostle prays for is he prays for their love to be knowledgeable. Look what he says in verse 9. He said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment." What was Paul praying? Paul was praying that they would have a love for one another. Now, I don't want to get into love too much because we just came out of a whole series on love. But he said, "I pray that your love," first, look, he said, "I pray that your love would be knowledgeable." What is he praying? He said, "I pray that you will know how to love. That you will know how to love. Pray for me that I'll know how to love." And not only that, he said, but that your knowledge might be discerning. So not only that you know how to love, but then you know how to apply the love that you have. That once you learn how to love, that you would apply that. And you know, as we look at our world today, every situation needs love. You got parents that are angry with children. You got children that are angry with parents. Paul said, "I pray that you would know how to love each other and that you would have discernment in your love." You got husbands and wives that don't know how to love one another. Paul says, "I pray that you would have discernment in your love and that your love would grow." We got people that don't know how to love those who are around them. And that's why we have so many issues, so many breakups, so many problems in our world today, is because people are not exercising love the way that they should. Paul said, "Man, I'm praying." He said, "Every day I pray that you would grow in your knowledge of how to love each other and that you would grow in your knowledge of how to apply that love." Man, just think, if you got somebody praying that for you every day, you can't miss. You can't miss, because what's God going to do? God is going to force you into situations where you got to love. It's just like, you know, somebody said, "Well, you know what? Pray for me that I would have patience." You know what? Whenever you pray for patience, you know, whenever you ask, don't even ask anybody to pray for you for patience. When you go ask somebody, just pray that I have a bunch of trials in my life. That's what you need to ask. Just pray that I have a bunch of trials in my life. Because how you gonna get patience? The only way you gonna get patience, you know, it's like my good friend, that great theologian George Willoughby, what it says. He says that's just like a newly opened hospital with empty beds. What do they need, George? They need patience. They need patience. See, when you when you're praying for patience, you're praying for trouble. And when you pray that people would love more, you know what you're praying? You're praying that God put them in situations where they got to love. You'll put them in situations where their love is going to be manifested and their love is going to be stretched. When you pray for people to love one another, that's what you're praying for. Situations that would come their way that would cause them to love more. The focus of the prayer, he prays for their love to be knowledgeable, but he also prays for their decisions
to be acceptable. Look what he says in verse 10. He says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. And then in verse 10, he says that you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may approve the things that are excellent. Look at your notes and follow along with me. Paul prays that they would approve the things that are excellent. The word approve comes from the Greek word dokimazo, a word which is used to denote the kind of trial to which metals are exposed in order to test their nature. What is Paul praying? All right, watch this. That's why I want you to pray this prayer for me and pray this for your loved ones. What he's saying, Paul is saying here, that your loved ones, that everything that comes before them, that they would examine it, that they would look at it. When that opportunity comes for them to go out and get drunk with somebody, that they would examine that opportunity. That when that opportunity comes, now once again, I'm praying for my, oh Lord, I pray that you would help them to approve the things that are excellent. When they're confronted with that first get high, that first joint, Lord, I'm praying that they would, what did he say? Dokimazo, examine it. Like they examine a piece of, like a coin. Lord, whenever my 45-year-old brother or sister meets this knucklehead that they fall in love with, I pray that they would examine. I pray that they would examine. So you see, once again, we just can't say, you know, the youth anymore. We got to, you know, spread this thing on out. That they would examine it. You know, Lord, I pray that when my loved ones face decisions on a daily basis, watch this. That they would examine it. And then what did Paul say? Paul said that they would approve the things that are excellent. Excellent. The choices between bad and good. Examine them. And then choose that which is. Wow. Choose that which is excellent. And I'm praying that for people that are around me every day. Lord, I don't know what my loved ones are going through today. But Lord, they're going to have decisions all day long that they have to make. And Lord, I pray that they would dokimazo each decision. That they would try it like that coin, Lord. That they would try it, Lord, and that they would examine it. And then when they have to make that choice, Lord, that they would approve the things that are excellent. And they would choose the things that are excellent for their life. What a prayer. What a prayer. Man, I want you to pray that. But see, let me move on because I think that we can look at it from another light. Let's twist that diamond to another angle, all right? And let's twist it to this, that every day we have decisions that come up in our lives that are good and excellent. See, now we done talked about the people who got to make the choice between bad and good. And we pray that they would choose the excellent. But how about people that have to make, you know, as a pastor, I tell you what, man, I could go crazy if I came here every day and tried to follow up on everything that came. That came across my desk. The emails, the phone calls, the letters, the messages from the secretary. I got to pray somewhere. And I got to say, Lord, help me to approve the things that are excellent. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff that, and see, that's why I say, pray for your pastor. Pray that he would approve the things that are excellent. Because, man, you could get caught up in dealing with so much riffraff. And spend all your time on riffraff that you miss the things that are excellent. The things that God wants you to do. And you know, you're the same way. You're the exact same way that you can get so caught up in dealing with stupid stuff. Not bad, okay, notice I didn't say bad stuff,
But you can get caught up in doing stupid stuff and you miss the best that God has for your life. What did Paul say? Look, read this one. Read what he said. That ye may approve things that are excellent. That are excellent. Every day when you get up, you gotta pray this prayer every day. Lord, I don't know what's gonna come before me. Lord, you know, there's gonna be the opportunity to go to this meeting over at the local community center where they're trying to get some people together to improve our neighborhood. And then, Lord, there's gonna be brother so-and-so that's in the hospital who has cancer. Lord, help me to approve the things that are excellent. Help me to make the choice, Lord, that not the good choice. Oh, somebody help me. Somebody pray with me this morning. Somebody pray with me this morning. Not the good choice, but the excellent choice. And at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, there's going to be a whole lot of good choices that didn't get addressed. But at least one thing you'll know. You did what God wanted you to do, and you did that which was excellent. Man, pray that for me. Pray that for me. Pray that for your loved ones. That they would choose those things that are excellent. The next thing he says here as he prays, he said, praise for them to be knowledgeable, pray for their decisions to be acceptable, and pray for their character to be reputable. Look what he says in verse 10. He says, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is powerful now. This is powerful. Stay with me now. This is good. This is good, this is good, this is good. The word sincere comes from the Greek word helikrinos. All right, watch this now, watch this. It's in your notes, you can read it now. If you want to go teach this to somebody else, it's in your notes, you can read it and teach it. Right. All right? That word sincere comes from two Greek words. Helios, which is sun, and krinos, which means to judge. The word means to judge by the sun. Well, what are we saying? Back in the culture of the day, people would sell garments. And sometimes the garments would be ripped or torn, and they would try to sew them up and sell them off as genuine. And what would people do? When they would go to the market, they would hold the garment up in what? The sun, in the light. And you were able to see if that garment had been torn or ripped. But let me give you another example. Because actually the Latin word sincere comes from two words, sincere, and what it means is without wax. Without wax. People would sell pots. And sometimes the pots would be cracked. And what the slicksters would do is they would get wax and they would put it over the crack. Then they would resand it, resurface it, and paint it, and then try to sell it off as original. Whenever you went to buy a pot, they had to stamp the word sincere across the pot. And that meant that it was without wax. But just in case they still tried to pull a fast one on you and put sincere on the front, what would you do? Just hold it up to the sun. Hold it up to the light. And the light would expose any impurities that were in the vessel. God says, Paul says, as he prayed for them, he said that you may be sincere. Pray for Pastor Glaze that when I'm held up to the light, oh, bless his holy name, that when I'm held up to the light, there might not be any cracks. There might not be any wax. There might not be any sewn parts. Oh, yeah, I know that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I understand that. But I'm praying that as far as my integrity is concerned, that when God holds me up to the light, that there's no impurities found. What a prayer to pray for your family. God, I pray that when they're put up to the light, Lord, when they are examined in the light, I pray that they might be whole. I pray that they might be pure. Lord, you know my kids, Lord. Satan's trying to defile them, God. Satan is after your kids, and he's trying to defile your kids. Lord, I pray that when they're held to the light, Father, that they might be pure. See, sometimes we cheapen our prayer. Well, I just pray, you know, and I'm praying. I pray they stay away from drugs, and I pray they stay away from this, and pray. I mean, all that's good prayer, but don't come up short in your prayer. Pray that they might be pure and holy. Shoot for the high standard when you pray for them. Pray that they might be pure and holy. Man, you know, I tell you what. And see, this is why I'm asking you to pray for Pastor Glaze, because, you know, and you know what? I said, don't look to the man. I got feet of clay. I can fall, you know, I can fall. But I tell you what, man, it just seems like there's so much pressure. I mean, people come and they say, man, I had a minister tell me this. And I don't say this egotistically. I'm just telling you to pray for me. I had a minister tell me this. Pastor, you know, I know a lot of pastors over the city, but every time I mention your name, there's nothing negative that's associated with it. I tell you what, that's scary for me. That's scary. And the reason that it's scary, because I know that now the enemy is after me like never before. And I just pray that when you pray for Pastor Glaze, pray that when I'm put to the light, the judgment of the light, that I might be sincere, that I might be without wax, that I might be pure and holy in the things that God has for my life. Oh, let me move on. And then he prays that they would be blameless. Look at that. Look at verse 10. That they may approve the things that are excellent, and they may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. He prays that they would be filled with all the righteous things: integrity, honesty, love, benevolence, humbleness, kindness. He's praying that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Man, I'm praying for those close to me that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. And then as I conclude, he prays for their God to be admirable. He prays for their love to be knowledgeable, for their decisions to be acceptable, for their character to be respectable, and for their God to be admirable. Look what he says at the end of verse 11, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That whenever people love each other like they should, and they make the right choices that please God, and they live a pure and holy life, then guess what? God is glorified. God is glorified. What a prayer. What a prayer to pray for your loved ones, that they might glorify God in all that they do. Bill Hybels tells an interesting story about the experience he had after the baptism in his service. He said that he bumped into a lady in the staircase, and she was crying. And he was trying to figure out, you know, why she was crying. And she said, I'm just struggling today. I'm struggling. And he asked her, well, what's going on? She said, well, my mom was baptized today after I prayed for her for almost 20 years. She got baptized. And the reason that I'm crying is because I came very close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I said, why am I wasting my breath? At the 15-year mark, I said, that's absurd. And at the 19-year mark, I said, I'm just a fool. But I just kept praying. And God, even though I was weak in my faith, God saved my mother. And I just feel so ashamed that I came so close to giving up. You got to push. You got to push. These things that we shared, that I share with you today, don't stop praying them. Pray them for yourself. Pray them for your pastor. Pray them for your loved ones. Don't stop praying them. Keep on pushing. Praying until something happens. Father, we pray that you would minister to all of us. Lord,
thank you. Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of Lessons Paris Hilton Could Have Learned from the Apostle Paul Before Going to Jail. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, How to Push Your Family, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request How to Push Your Family, or program number 070624. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request How to Push Your Family, or program number 070624. Another convenient way to contact us is by way of email, aij@bethanybaptist-pgh.org. That's aij@bethanybaptist-pgh.org.